a wonderful goal, Matthias.
That's an Albion, a promotion to the championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week, we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And one of our guests for the show tonight is Danny from Liquid Football. Good evening.
How are you doing, lads? All right?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Yeah, well, good, thanks. So, first of all, I guess, Danny, I'll give you a chance. Do you want to tell us about Liquid Football, what you do?
Yeah, last time I was on the show, which I don't know when that was.
Sometime about four or five months ago.
Yeah, we were talking, because obviously at that point we were the magazine as well as a podcast. Now we're just a podcast. That thing no longer exists. Just down to workload, really. I think we did like six issues in the last year when we was only aiming to put out four. I think just realistically, looking at it, you know, balancing work and home life and stuff like that, we've not got the time to do it. It was very more successful in terms of amount of reads, you know, in the time that we did do it. But I think it was better to burn out than fade away, sort of thing, because we wouldn't have been able to put the time into it that we had the previous year. So we made the decision just to end it. So as it stands, Liquid Football is just a podcast. Just another podcast now. Although we are potentially maybe going into the world of video casting next season. We're thinking about it. Although we do all have the face for radio, or in this case podcast, so we're unsure. But maybe, who knows? So yeah, we could be a video cast moving forward. But as it stands now, we're just a podcast. That's it.
Fair enough. Do you want to give us any social media details if anyone wants to follow you on Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, we're on Twitter at LQD_football, and we're on Instagram now as well, although we always have been, but the lad who runs it, we've got the password. I think it's liquid.football. So I don't really know how Instagram works, if I'm being all honest.
Fair enough.
Being honest with you, it's all pictures in it, but yeah, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook as well. I can't remember the address off the screen, but I'm sure if you search for it, it'll come up.
Yeah, I'll put the links in the description of the show so you'll be able to click them. All right, yeah, thanks for that. We'll move on to the main show in a sec, but first, Chris Lappin spoke to former defender Paul Parker about a number of issues, and there's a few questions he asked exclusively to the 72 show, so yeah, you can listen to that now.
I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Paul Parker. How you doing, Paul?
We're not doing too bad. No, it's not too bad at all.
Steve McLaren got sacked from Derby for the second time yesterday. What did you make of Steve McLaren when you worked together at Derby in 1996?
Initially, I thought he was a very, very good coach. I was very lucky that I had Brian Kidd for 5 years.
Yeah.
At Manchester United, and Kiddo was absolutely brilliant. Something I've never had before. He was a good coach, but he was a good second man as well to Sir Alex. He was the buffer. He was pacifier. He was a good person to work with, and I saw Steve McLaren coach-wise very, very similar to that as well. Queen's Park Rangers, I had Peter Streeves, who was assistant to Jim Smith when I first signed there. Peter Streeves was brilliant, but then Kiddo was brilliant. Steve McLaren was very, very good as a coach, and then I just think it's very, very difficult for someone who's been such a good coach to suddenly become a man manager. Very, very difficult. And football today allows you to make so many mistakes as a coach or a manager, because someone's always willing to take a chance to go that way. Derby have done it twice. Derby have regretted it twice. Steve McLaren has loved it twice, because he always gets sacked with a refund. Don't you? So he's done very, very well out of it. He mostly won't be proud of it, but I'm sure that he'll sleep okay tonight.
What were your thoughts of his sacking in generals?
Derby, I mean, he was doing it, but they'd gone, I think it was like nine out of ten games without a win.
Yeah.
And for a club like Derby, and they're looking who's competing in that top six, and when you look at it and you're seeing Huddersfield Town, and you're going, wow. And I, to Huddersfield Town last season. I went to the first game of the season last year. I went to Queen's Park Rangers v Huddersfield at Huddersfield. Yeah. I was back for someone's wedding in Manchester. United were away at Swansea, so I jumped in his car and I drove around to Huddersfield to see QPR play there. And then Chris Powell was managing them at the time. And, you know, nice kind of newish stadium. I played at the old Leeds Road ground many years ago. But the new one was okay, first time there, but there was nothing about Huddersfield. That was okay.
Yeah.
Typical Yorkshire, blood and thunder and honesty, the way they played. But the transformation they've made now under the new German coach has been unbelievable. And when you look at how much they've spent as well, and then you're looking at Derby, and you're looking at what they're doing, I think maybe as an owner, you're looking at it saying, so hold on, I mean, there's something going on here. We've got, allegedly, an ex-England manager as my coach. We've got some players, a lot of money here. We've got some big-name players. But at the moment, we're not making a dent on the top six. So I've got to try and do something differently. I've got to change it. And you can see why he's done it. I've been reading a few comments from a few Derby fans, and then a few of them are questioning why he's done it. A lot of people are coming on and saying it was a silly thing to do to go back again to Steve McClaren. I did find that strange, but I think in today's world, after the Ranieri sacking and all the other things you see now, I don't think we should be that shocked anymore.
No.
What happens in football when people get sacked. Shouldn't be sacked anymore. It was like, you know, you look at, it was just one of those things now when someone gets sacked, you just go, yeah, move on, you turn a page over, new story, just get on with it now. And then you go, and that's it. No point harping on about it.
How bad have some of the management decisions been at QPR recently, and does appointing Ian Holloway give them a decent chance of promotion?
I think it does really hurt me what has happened at QPR over the years. I've been sitting over here, and I'm very, very lucky that I live in Singapore with the son of my old commercial director called Brian Rowe.
Yeah.
He worked at QPR as a commercial director for many years. He was involved with he got QPR their first shirt sponsor, which was Guinness. He actually done that deal when Guinness were just off the A40 in Acton.
Yeah.
And he got that sponsor. His son lives in Singapore with me, and his son's been in Singapore, must be over 35 years now. So all of a sudden I'd turn up there. And so I've been kind of got even stronger with Queen's Park Rangers since I've got to know him. And I've just been disillusioned with some of the managers that they brought in there. For me, it's just been stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the manager to bring, because Queen's Park Rangers is one of those clubs, you don't need a big-name manager. You need a manager at Queen's Park Rangers who is going to get involved with the community. You've got to be a community manager. You've got to absorb what's around it. Look at the area, and then look at the fans, the stadium can only hold, what, maximum, I think, 18,000 out of lucky. So, 16,000. Got everyone there, and you've got to be with them. You've got to communicate with them. Doesn't matter how big a name, if you're not communicating with them, then you're not really going to, it's going to make your job even more difficult. And I think Sparky found it very difficult. It's one of the first things I said when Mark got the job. Mark's got to mix in. Mark is not really one of that kind of way. Mark's a very quiet person. You can trust him.
Yeah.
He's solid. Brent, but he's not really a mixer. He's going to go out there and mix with the fans like that, especially in London. I was surprised that Mark gambled on coming back to London again after what happened at Fulham. Mark, the North West is where Mark's home is still, northwest of England, towards Macclesfield, and I'm just surprised he did that. Harry Redknapp for me was a mistake, because it just wasn't going to be his club. It just wasn't. QPR just wasn't going to be him. And again, it was just a load of money just wasted and wasted on big names who were coming and lost their drive, lost their being at big clubs and just coming to the end of it. And those QPR fans didn't really want to see that. They want people to come there and love their club and give everything. Because you do that, and that's, I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy myself so much there, because of you go there and you give everything, and they'll take you on board. But
yeah,
it doesn't matter what your talents are. If you're honest and 100% committed, they'll go with you. And a lot of players coming in couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. So for them to go back to basics, which I really thoroughly believe in sometimes, that you have to go and do and go back to where you come from and start again, what they've gone and done has made a massive difference, because the players who come in some of the players they've got there at Rangers, not big names, but Ian Holloway knows how to get the best out of them. And he can go and say all the right things. And look at Connor Washington. The fans are digging him out, having a right go at him. Even when I went there, I was there on the 2nd of January when they played in Ipswich Town. And he'd come on a sub, and you could feel it when he came on a sub, the fans weren't with him. He made a big point of coming out in the programme and gave his opinion about him. He backed him everywhere. But all of a sudden now, his whole change, the whole pitch has changed, because now Washington is playing like Ian Holloway expects. The fans have suddenly seen that Ian Holloway doesn't just talk the talk, he can actually walk the walk. And he's made a team, a side that was going down, all of a sudden, if they look like a side that the season could carry on for another extra two months, that maybe they could push on and go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, next season, if there's any money, and if he could get it right, and he doesn't need to go and buy big players. Ian Holloway doesn't want big names. He wants players who are going to be like what he was as a footballer. Ian was a very good, technically a very, very good footballer. But when he didn't have the ball, he wanted to get it back as quick as possible as well. And he wants people like that. They're the kind of people he wants. He doesn't want people who had big names and think they can come to Loftus Road and have a holiday because a big name, the fans are going to love them. Because the fans are sceptical of big names. They're worried about big names. They're concerned that they're just going to come there and just take from the club, dry the club up and then leave nothing behind. What's happened so far, the club has just spent and lost so much money on individuals and paying people off because they went down the wrong road, the road that they'd never went through before. Mark Hughes and Harry Redknapp spent a lot of money that Queen's Park Rangers should never have been spending and should never have gone down that road ever of what they went and done.
What are your thoughts on Fulham? It's only 2 defeats in the last 10. Is the fact that they're only outside the playoffs shows how competitive the Championship is?
Yeah, it is. I look at it all the time and I try and watch it as much as possible, which is difficult in Singapore. But the Championship for me is more interesting than the Premier League, to be perfectly honest. I do a lot of work week in, week out. Weekend out, I should say, in Malaysia. But from top to bottom, there isn't a better league to watch, in my opinion, from top to bottom. Fulham. I went to Fulham's training ground when I was back in January as well, and I saw something which, from when I was, everything's changed 100% from when I was there. Everything, and I'm watching his bunch of lads training, and I suddenly looked over and I went, "Oh, minute, that's the coach there. Is it Djokovic? I can't pronounce his name."
Yeah.
I went, "Oh, minute, that's the manager there." So I went, "Oh, is he taking the youth team?" And the lad who showed me around, which was a recruitment officer, the youth academy recruitment officer Dan Rice, said to me, "No, that's the first team." And I just saw this bunch of young boys training. And I thought the youth team. And when you look at Ryan Sessegnon, you look at him, you suddenly, it was just. And I watched them for about 30 minutes, and it was breathtaking what I was seeing going on. I know this maybe because I've been away from watching any kind of youth football, any football or training grounds for nearly 8 years, but it was just something that I never saw before. I saw this training session and I thought myself, that training session was like a game on a Saturday afternoon. It was at such a high tempo. It was amazing to watch these players. What they put, it was just going just to the peripheral of a big tackle, of actually making contact, but it was still playing. It was like playing at match tempo. It was incredible. And that's the Fulham first team that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And it was just young players. And there was a few maybe experienced players, but they were still young, and yet they're competing. So from me saying it, after seeing them, watching them train, and then seeing what they do in the Premier League, sorry, in the Championship, I was living in the whole world of saying that to get out of the Championship, you need experience to get out. I think to myself, you need at least 3 or 4 players. You need a good, solid goalkeeper, maybe good, strong, being all over the place, centre half, ugly, willing to go and headbutt his nan to go in the ball. Midfield player, old head in there, knows when to slow it down. And a big ugly centre forward to go and kick the old centre half around in the other team.
Yeah.
You don't need that. You just don't need that. You need an organised side, a coach who's brave enough to go and use young players, or his hold is using young players. This is what Fulham's doing. Fulham, as you know yourself already, Fulham are producing some very good young players, which they lose before they can actually lose some of them before they even get anywhere near the first team, or they lose them when they do get in the first team. And that's the road that Fulham have gone down, and you have to respect what they're doing. So for for me, Fulham being there is great. Can they go there and compete to the end? I think they can. After you've seen what they've gone and done to go and win what they did at, the way they did at Newcastle as well, says a lot what they've gone and done. And to be honest, both teams, the Fulham QPR game was a very fiery game. And since that time, they last met at Loftus Road. Both of them have gone on and done very, very well since that game. Both of them lost their discipline, lost their composure in that game because the bookings and the fouls and obviously the confrontations on the touchline. Both of them lost it in that game, that London derby. It was great because Fulham QPR games never happened while I was there. Fulham were then in the third division.
Yeah.
But it was great that Queen's Park Rangers now are the underdogs in West London. Fulham are the top dogs. When I was there, QPR was the top dogs. Fulham were okay. Brentford were just there for pre-season friendlies. Now Brentford compete.
Yeah.
So West London now has three sides that have got fire in their belly now. You know, I didn't mention Chelsea because Chelsea aren't really West London. So I'll leave them out of the equation. But the other three are proper West London. And now it's great that all three of them now are in close contact with each other now. And they all compete now rather than before. Brentford and Fulham were well out of the picture. It's good to see.
All right, well, that was Paul Parker. Really, really enjoyed having him on the show. And yeah, thanks to Chris for taking the time out to interview him for us. I just want to pick up on a couple of things he did say. About Steve McLaren, he said that he was a very good number two manager. What do you make of him getting sacked as Derby boss? Start with you, Danny. What did you think of that?
I think he was harsh. I really do. I know he's former Forest and his two-time Derby manager, so by default I should really hate him, but I don't really. And I think he was harsh. He came in when Derby were really struggling and he got them back up there. All right, yeah, they're nowhere near the playoffs now, but you know, which is where they should be. The sort of money they spent over the last couple of seasons, they should at least be top six. But you know, he didn't come in at the start of the season. If he'd been there from the start of the season, they were, you know, 10 points out of the playoffs now or whatever, then I think maybe probably would have been a fair decision. But no, I still think it was harsh, and I think, you know, in terms of him being a good number two, it's a difficult one with him because he'll go somewhere like when he was in Holland and wins the league. And, you know, but then at a lot of jobs he struggled. I still think he would have got Derby up next season if he'd have been there. I think they'll go up next season anyway. Probably under Rowett. I think they definitely would have gone up under Steve McLaren. But again, he's just another trigger-happy owner, like many others.
Yeah, again, I'm going to stay in the camp that it's very harsh. And I think Derby, they've had problems for the last couple of years. I think the recruitment there has been absolutely appalling. And I think there's more to it than just the manager. I think the players Derby have got are very good players, but they don't play together as a team. We only have to look at Friday night's absolutely pathetic performance against Brighton. And it was a complete shambles. As I say, they've got all these big time Charlies as their fans and loads of other fans in the Championship call them. And they just don't look like they're going to play together as a team. They don't look like they want to be a part of what the Championship's all about, where you're going to have players who are going to sort of work their asses off for 90 minutes of football. And as I say, I think the recruitment over the few years has just been a bit of a problem, really. They're just signing players who sort of go on a good one-month spree of scoring goals. Like, you know, you've got to look at Nick Blackburn at Reading, and he's done nothing since joining them. And I just don't think they've really recruited well since they've bought a squad. They've just been signing and said they're winning it, and it's shown that you can't do that, especially in the Championship.
The thing is on paper, as you've alluded to, they've got one of the best squads in the Championship. Obviously, not Newcastle's, but it's definitely a top six. And if they're not playing well, I mean, they've won one out of their last nine games. And as you put it yourself, Derby were a shambles against Brighton last week. Is there not an argument that how is the manager not culpable for that?
Yeah, there is, and but I think, as I say, it's been going for a while now. I think probably Steve was probably trying to get to the end of the season then making his decisions, but I think it was already going to be a tough battle for him to try and get the players when he took over. But whether they've sacked him because they've got Gary Rowett on the market while they can, there could be something to that. And as I say, if that is the case, then it could be a good decision, given the fact, obviously, we know how well Gary Rowett and Birmingham did very well at Birmingham, obviously, on a tight budget. Now he'll have money to hand at Derby, and I'm sure he won't take any of those performances that we saw at Brighton Friday night. I think he'll want hungry individuals to work after 90 minutes. And I think a lot of the big names at Derby could be moving on at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think what you said there as well about them, you know, with him having Rowett available, I think that probably was a big sort of big influence the decision, because if they didn't have someone to step in, a lot like Birmingham when they got rid of Rowett, they did so because they thought Zola was the man to take him forward. I'm not comparing Zola to Rowett at all. I think it was an absolutely mental decision over at Birmingham to get rid of him for Zola. But, you know, their Derby board probably looked at it and thought, well, we've got a chance to bring in Rowett here, and maybe he can do the job that, you know, all the managers can't. And who knows, maybe he can. Again, I still think with the money they spend, they will go up by next season. But, you know, as you mentioned there as well, he did work at Birmingham under a very tight budget. Maybe he's one of them managers who can only work in them situations. You know, it's not all about throwing money at it and hoping for the best, as Derby have found out for the last couple of seasons. But who knows?
We'll see, I guess. We'll have to wait and see how he does. But we'll move on. I want to talk about Nottingham Forest, especially as you're on the show, Danny. Mark Warburton, good appointment or not?
Yeah, I think so. I was beating the Warburton drum 2 years ago when Brentford first said that they were going to renew his contract at the end of the season. And we had Dougie Friedman on a deal until the end of the season. We could have got Warburton at the end of that season. Instead, we give Dougie Friedman the permanent job when he came in. That's where Pearce was sacked. And actually took us backwards. There's actually no debate in that. I think when he came in, I think we were 11th. We ended up 15th or something. But he still got the job permanently when we could have got Warburton. He either come to us after being sacked from Brentford, or his contract not even renewed at Brentford. He is definitely comfortable. So I think he's a man we should have got 2 years ago. Whether he's the right man for the job now, I'm not sure. I think that Rowett would have been the better choice. He says he would have come to Forest if it weren't for the owner, which you can't blame him for. But I think in the club, in the situation it's in, you know, the mess we're in, you saw the job he did at what Warburton did at Glasgow Rangers. Their club's in a very similar position to the way they run, and he struggled. I mean, I say he struggled. They were third in the Scottish division, but that to me is struggling. I think if you manage your Rangers, you need to be, you know, pushing for the league over in Scotland. You know, because the quality over there, it's not, you know, and the players or whatever just didn't buy into him or whatever. I don't know the ins and outs of what actually happened there. But overall, yeah, I'm very pleased with the appointment. I still think that Rowett probably would have been the better choice in the situation we're in.
Mm-hmm. Talking a bit more broadly, what are your hopes for the season? Because obviously only 2 points above the relegation zone. Is it just the case of, you know, you'd be taking 21st now, or are you hopeful for anything more out of the season as a whole?
100%. I would take the place above the drop. I generally think, I've been saying it quite a while, I generally think we could very easily go down this season. You look at, you know, we're 2 points in the drop above Bristol, 1 point above Blackburn. Both of those teams have been absolute garbage this season, and when you look at it that way, we're in a really, really poor situation. I think Warburton, as I say, will come in and will turn it around. That's thinking positively, but at the same time, there's still a very, very good chance that we could be playing League One next season, which would be an absolute disaster. A lot of people say, "Well, get relegated and build yourself up again." We tried that before. 2004 when we got relegated, and it took us 3 years to come back up. Same with Sheffield United, they went down and said, yeah, so I'll bounce straight back up again. Sometimes it works, you look at Leicester, Norwich, Southampton, but sometimes it doesn't. And in our case, we know from the past that it doesn't always work. So, yeah, 100% survival, that's got to be the aim at the minute.
What do you think of the relegation battle? I mean, I know, you know, you look at Blackburn, who've really improved their form under Tony Mowbray. Bristol City won. They beat Wigan at the weekend. Is it a big scrap for that last place, do you think?
Yeah, I think obviously Robin McGowan. I think Wigan are probably gone now, especially what with sacking. And yeah, I think it's just a battle between, there's plenty of clubs that can easily get dragged into it. I think for even Birmingham, only one point. I think even they're not 100% safe. So I think there's a lot of quality that could get relegated out. I think, as I said, we've seen Blackburn improve. Tony Mowbray's company's actually done a very good job. And then it's a really tough one to call. I think Bristol City as well, they've got a lot of quality there, especially if we saw at the start of the season. Whether Lee Johnson's the man who can do it, we don't know. Forest, again, they've got the man they want, whether Wolverton can take two. Again, it's sort of Ben Walsh in the same boat, two massive football clubs. Whether there'll be, people always say the old cliche, they're too good to go down. But whether they do have the fight for it remains to be seen. If I was a betting man, I would probably say what it is at the moment, Rotherham, Wigan and Bristol City. I think Blackburn, I think over the last few weeks, have been very impressive. And I think especially that point at Fulham on last night, I think Blackburn would probably be okay. I think if I was a betting man, it would be the three that are in there now.
I'm not sure about the Bristol City, to be honest. I think that one last position is up in the air. Rotherham, they've been dead and buried for a long, long time now. And I think Wigan will be joining them. But as for the last place, I think it could be anyone sort of from 17th, who is Birmingham, downwards. You know, which going back to the old Zola Rowe situation, Rowe was set kind of just at the playoffs. And here they are, they're only 6 points above the drop now, with, 10 games remaining. So I think, anything from sort of Birmingham, Wolves, Burton downwards, they could go down. I think it'd be a very, I think, likely probably someone like Burton, purely for the fact that, they're this tiny club, sort of well out of the depth in the Championship, but they've held a very good account of themselves, going into the season. They've had some great wins, including beating us, last week. They beat Derby as well, not that long back. But, those sort of clubs do always, unfortunately, get relegated. So I could see it being Burton. Anyone from there, I wouldn't be surprised if anyone from Birmingham downwards went down with them, to be honest.
Obviously, Nick touched on it before. Wigan have sacked their manager, Warren Joyce, who was the former United Reserves manager. I saw Neil Warnock came out and said that he was pleased when he was appointed the manager because he didn't see them as much of a threat. And he said that a manager like that who's coached youth teams, you can't throw him into the Championship. Do you think Neil Warnock's being a bit harsh there, or do you think he's right that it was the wrong appointment?
I think he makes a good point, to be honest, as been proved. I think a lot of owners, inexperienced owners such as Wigan, probably saw his CV and was like, oh, 6 years at Manchester United, he's got to be good. And he's come down, he's not really done anything. I think it was a little bit disrespectful what Warnock said about him. You at least give him a chance first, but, secretly, I think, he made a good point.
I think he makes a good point, but it's a bit harsh to come say that about a manager. I think at Wigan, he's made a lot of signings in January. Hasn't really clicked, and I think when you do try and bring that many players in January, it's not going to work overnight. And I just think the squad when they got promoted from League One, they didn't really add to it as well as they could have done. Whether Caldwell deserves a bit of blame as well for that part, whether the owners deserve a bit of blame for that, but as I say, it wasn't recruited as well as it maybe could have done, especially over summer. And again, they left it late on by making those deadline day signings. So you could say they didn't really help themselves in the whole of the season. I think the way they're giving their job is almost like they're accepting relegation, I think.
I think what you're saying there in terms of the signing, a lot of teams will panic when they're at the bottom because try and sign as many players as possible to get them out of trouble. And, as we said with Derby, just signing loads of players but throwing money at it isn't always the answer. You've got to manage the team. And with, Warren Joyce's history in the game, he's managed the Manchester United youth and reserve level, fair enough. But that aside, is he capable of man-managing, sort of players when they're, in a relegation scrap, and we've got the answers as no.
situation extremely, and we know obviously how tough the championship is, and as I say, we've seen even the most of the experience struggle in the championship, you could say to some degree the season, they probably thought it'd be a lot easier than it was. So yeah, I think the championship, we can't really gamble on appointments.
In some quarters, they were saying that this is almost like the evidence. Gary Caldwell shouldn't have been sacked. You know, he should still be in charge today. Do you think that's something that might have made Wigan have a better chance of staying up?
I think he did a good job the first time round, didn't he? Coming up from League One, and you know, I think it would have been fair to give him the season, you know, the chance, because a lot of people didn't think he was going to do it, and you know, Wigan had a great season when he was put in charge. But the Championship is a difficult league, and I think if you're going to sack Gary Caldwell, they should have sacked him for someone who, you know, had a lot better pedigree of getting them up. But Wigan can still probably attract bigger names than, you know, than the Warren Joyce, for example, because, you know, it's not that long ago they were mainstays in the Premier League. You know, they won the Cup. You know, they had a good run. I mean, they're never going to be a massive club, but I still think they could have attracted, you know, a better name, just, you know, someone who could have done a better job. Mm-hmm. But instead, it seems like they keep going for the cheap option, and it's when you're in that relegation battle, you can't be doing that. But who knows? You probably would have had a better chance than the last fella, and you know, just pointing and not pretty much just accepting their fate. But again, I suppose they're probably relegation and rebuild once again.
I noticed before as well. You said about Danny, who he thought he'd get relegated, and he said anyone up to 17th, which leads me quite nicely onto a point about Ipswich. I saw Mick McCarthy, because he's been under a bit of pressure. He came out and said the other day that the reason he's not been sacked is because he's doing a good job, just about safe apparently. Do you think he's doing a good job? He's doing an okay job, or?
He's doing all right, but yeah, say how long he's been there, is he really doing that kind of job? Well, I don't think so. I mean, as long as Ipswich, they're not going to be pressing for promotion, they want to be about mid-table, which is give or take roughly where they are. So I think he's doing a good job in terms of keeping them around at the mid-table mark, but in terms of how long he's been there, and they were probably hoping to be when he came in, and no, it's not really cut it,
has it? Yeah, I think when he first took over, he did a great job there. Got them in a promotion battle. They got to playoffs, lost to Norwich in there. But then since then, it's sort of gone a bit downhill, really. And as I say, I think him and the owners have got a very good relationship. And I think over the whole, it's been a very disappointing season for Ipswich. I think their fans and everyone there would have been liked to have more of a playoff push. Obviously, had a very disappointing result in the FA Cup to Lincoln. So I think it's been a poor season. I think whether they'll wait to the end of the season before reviewing it with McCarthy, because they probably just didn't want to sack him, and then maybe have the thing of getting dragged into that relegation fight. So I think having McCarthy at the club was always a safe there. But whether they'll now maybe wait to the end of the season, make a decision about where they're going to go.
It's probably the sensible option.
Ipswich are going like to Wigan, though. Like going back to Wigan, Ipswich are still a big name. You know, they've not been in the Premier League for quite some time. They're still a big name in terms of English football, and they could attract some decent managers. But they're not really putting the money into it for to justify really, you know, sacking Mick McCarthy, who can come in and do a better job when they're not spending the money. Who knows? But I suppose you've got to sort of balance it on when you look at the clubs that are up in the playoffs, i.e. Huddersfield, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point later on. But, you know, when they're third in the division, and, you know, that's Huddersfield Town, they're third, and then, you know, you're sat in 16th, then it doesn't look good.
All right, we'll move on and discuss I want to discuss a bit about the top of the division. We'll start with Brighton. I know, as we said before, beating Derby at the weekend. I understand you were there, Nick. What did you make of it?
Yeah, like I said, I think Brighton were good, very good. But I think it was more down to, as I say, how pathetic Derby were, to be honest with you. An appalling performance by Derby, and they seemed to give up as soon as the first goal went in. But less about trying to rip into Derby. I think Brighton, yeah, there were some very pleasing performances. especially with Knockout and Scanlock on the wings. And it was good to see the fringe players, because Kyle and Scanlock haven't played for a while. They returned, and I thought they were both very good. And Yue Humano, obviously, hasn't played since, I think, January. And he's returned due to the injury to Shane Duffy and Connor Goldson. And he's been brilliant. And no, we're in a very, very good position. And yeah, as I say, another clean sheet, 3 goals. You can't really complain at that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the week before, you got hammered by Forest for a 3-0, which is quite embarrassing, I've got to say.
It goes to the Forest game as well. I don't think there was anything in between both sides, to be honest. It certainly wasn't a 3-0 result, I didn't think. I thought both sides were just as bad as each other.
I think Brian just fell to pieces, didn't they, towards the end.
The first goal probably shouldn't have been allowed.
I think
everyone in the ground. Well, I didn't really know what the players were appealing for, but I think when you've got 11 players running over to the linesman, I think something's obviously not quite right. But then looking at the replays, yeah, it's a 100% offside. And then obviously the second goal stopped. I was given an early birthday present to the striker, and then the third one.
It was good for a laugh, that, you know, those goalkeeper mistakes, they'll be on them, you know, blooper videos, you know, Danny Dyer's football barrels or whatever they're called in years to come, so it's quite entertaining. Do you think Brighton will be sustainable in the Premier League, though?
Well, I think we'll be okay. So I think they'll certainly have to recruit. I think any club who goes up to the Premier League can't just keep the squad they've got. And it might even have to be the case of being quite harsh to players who have been brilliant in the Championship, but you may have to look at them and say, will they cut it in the Premier League? Especially when you have to go to these places like Man City, Man United, Liverpool, etc. You have to really look at your players and say who's going to deliver on these stages. So I think they might have to be a bit harsh to some players, where it's the case of saying thank you and goodbye, really. But I think as a fan, it would just be fantastic to see the club in the Premier League, and I couldn't care less if we do a derby and on 5 points or something. It would be brilliant to see the club I've supported for since a boy in the Premier League.
Have they ever been in the Premier League? I know they've not been in the Premier League, but they've been in the early 1980s.
Top flight football.
Still a long time.
Very long time ago, and as I say, since I've been supporting them, I've been watching them in sort of League One football, and Division Two. So to see them in the Premier League really will be very, very, very good, and absolutely something I've been dreaming of for God knows how long.
The thing is, saying this, it makes it sound like it's a done deal. Do you see it as that way, Danny, or can you see Huddersfield obviously only 6 points off with a game in hand? They've been in very good form recently. Beat Brentford in their last game. Do you see any chance of Huddersfield gate crashing the top two, or do you think Brighton and Newcastle will remain there?
I think there's a chance, definitely. I think they're very capable of getting in the top two. Like you say, they've got a game in hand. So if you class that game in hand, it's a win. That's only 3 points out. That's, you know, 9 games remaining. It's not that much, really. David Wagner's done he's done a great job, really. When you say, like, you know, that they are Huddersfield Town and they are pushing for the top two, it's who would have thought that at the start of the season? But no, I think it's going to be Newcastle and Brighton now. I'm just hoping that I'm hoping Brighton go on to win the league, to be honest, because I don't like that Newcastle fans just sort of assume that they should come down and smash it, and they haven't. They did last time they were down here under Chris Hughton. Ironically, but this time they have struggled a little bit. For the money they've spent, the amount of players they've brought in and the names they've brought in, they should have run away with this division a long time ago, and they haven't. So, no, I think Huddersfield will give it a good go towards the end, but it's going to be Newcastle Brighton, I think.
Okay. With Newcastle as well, they lost to Fulham. Ryan Sessegnon, who Paul Parker really sang his praises. What do you make of the result for Fulham's point of view? Just the point off the playoffs now.
Yeah, Fulham, I mean, again, they've been in the Championship, whatnot. Four top six. and they're a club that should be pushing for the top six. So I think with the, you know, because when they got relegated that season, they got taken over, didn't they, by the fellow who, I don't know what he owns in America, baseball or basketball or something, but he's one of them guys who's got a lot of money behind him. So, you know, they're a club that are expected to be in the top six, but I mean, looking at the table, I still think it will be the top six it is now. I think that's the top six it will finish on. I think it'll be Sheffield Wednesday, Reading and Leeds that will join Huddersfield, Brighton and Newcastle in the top six. But again, like Preston, you know, they're only just behind Fulham as well. You know, they've got a chance of getting into the top six, but I think realistically the top six it is now will end up there at the end of the season.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Nick?
Yeah, I think after, especially after Fulham on Tuesday night against Blackburn, but I think Fulham for next season, they'll be a great bet to try and win the whole thing altogether. And they've got a great manager who's been brilliant at Watford before, the Fulham manager, Jovetic. And they're playing some great football. I've been very impressed against Brighton. They've given Brighton fantastic games both times this season. They've got some very good players, very good young players, who've said with the Session. So now I think this season I don't think they'll get promoted this season. I think it seems a bit too soon. But I think certainly next season they can keep a lot of their players together, plus maybe add one or two in. But I think they'll be a very, very strong unit for next.
You know, if they can keep him, that will go a lot of way to help him the role of the team as well, to, you know, give a statement.
Mm. And there's Tottenham have got a very big interest in him. But even now, if they can cash in on him and even use their money to spend on other talent, then they'll be in a very good place for next season, I think, Fulham.
Mm. All right, well, we're kind of discussed the Championship quite a lot. There's just one other thing. Norwich City, they've sacked their manager, Alex Neil. We've got a Norwich fan coming on the show next week, so we'll discuss all the detail then. But just very quickly, yes or no, do you think it was the right decision for the club to sack him?
No.
I think no.
I think it should have been done months ago.
okay.
I think yeah, if it was going to be done, it should have been done, you know, three or four, whatever it was, when they were really sort of struggling. But personally, I think Alex Neil was a good manager. I'm too sentimental in going forward to that, but no, I think they should have let him out of the season.
Alright,
yeah, I agree with that. So it should have been done after Brighton 5-0 win, I think, around that time, but they've left the drag on and they're out of the playoff race. And I think, yeah, they've sat there, whether they reckon it could maybe get a manager to come in and to win, but no, I think it's a bit harsh. They should have left it to the season then. They've moved on, but
they're too far out now to make the top six. So, you know, just let him up till the end of the season and then go from there, I think, would have been probably the best decision. But that's football for you, isn't it? The managers don't get those chances now, and sentiment doesn't come into it either.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, we've got a Norwich fan on next week, and I'm sure we'll be discussing it in a lot more detail. Hopefully, there'll be an appointment for us to discuss. I want to move on and talk about League One. There was the game between Wimbledon and Milton Keynes, which made the headlines. Wimbledon, on their match programme, refused to acknowledge MK Dons and just had a small section on them with their squad information.
I'm completely on Wimbledon's side. However, I think there's a line that you go a little bit unprofessional.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like a sort of the party pooper here. Don't get me wrong, I'm always rooting for Wimbledon whenever they play against them. Absolutely, always on Wimbledon's side. I completely understand all the fans' frustration, all the owners' frustration. So I hate everything about MK Dons. But I think on the night that was a bit unprofessional. I think at the end of the day, they're still football supporters. They're coming down, they're paying their money to get into the Wimbledon Stadium. And at the end of the day, I think they've gone a bit unprofessional, I think. And that's just my opinion.
I think what you're saying, I mean, personally, I think it's brilliant. I think, you know, the fact that they do refuse to acknowledge Milton Keynes, you know, as a football club, I think just, you know, I mean, to be fair, I'd do exactly the same, I think, if I was in their position. But I think, I know what you're saying, they've run the risk of, you know, looking like the petty ones. You know what I mean? When ultimately, you know, by doing things like this, you know, with a lot of people, it may make them look, it doesn't do them any favours, put it that way, in terms of, you know, the fight they're trying to get them, the point they're trying to make. But no, I think, if in their position I'd be exactly the same. I think, you know, let's not beat around the bush. Milton Keynes basically stole this club. There's no such two ways around that. The only thing really that is still Wimbledon from the old days is the Dons at the end of the name, and Milton Keynes will never let that go. They'll cling on to that Dons thing just to give themselves some relevance, you know, that they're not a plastic club that were invented in 2004, which ultimately they are. But yeah, it was good for a laugh. I thought it was very enjoyable to see, and the Milton Keynes fans were very, very annoyed at that, but that doesn't bother me personally.
Yeah, it got quite a lot of attention.
But I think if you're either one or two things, you're... Yeah, I mean, I'd say if you do support Milton Keynes, you're either, you know, you're from Milton Keynes, you used to support a team which you then abandoned in 2004 when so-called Wimbledon came to town, or you support Wimbledon and then you deserted, you know, 100 miles down the road to Milton Keynes, which both are as bad as each other, in my opinion. A lot of Milton Keynes fans have the you know, the ones that did stay as Wimbledon and you know, sort of went over to Milton Keynes, a lot of them have an opinion about AFC Wimbledon that they're the ones that deserve their club. But did they, I mean, you think if, say, it happened to Brighton, someone came in, bought Brighton, moved into Milton Keynes, and called them Milton Keynes Albion, you know, would you support them? It's not the same club. It wouldn't be the same club in my eyes.
Down to the lower leagues and watch the club right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think most football fans would have done the same. But going back to the original point, it was funny, but they do run the risk of looking a little bit petty, don't they?
Well, there's talk that they might get some sort of repercussions because there's football league rules about match programmes and what, you know, you've got to display the information and stuff like that. So there might be repercussions.
I'm sure there is.
But they also they didn't allow any of the Milton Keynes directors. I know their director Pete Winkleman. He wasn't allowed into the corporate section. He had to sit. He had to watch the game from the stands.
Well, he's the main one, isn't he? He's the one who did it in the first place. So no, I 100% agree with that. I wouldn't even allow him into the ground if it was me.
Fair enough. All right. Well, on the pitch.
Maybe I'm just a bitter guy. If he did that to Forest, and you know, I'm a Forest fan, and then he wants to come and sit in, you know, we rebuild and with them playing, he wants to come down and watch. No way, you wouldn't even be allowed in.
But I guess from the other point of view, though, you've got to look at, there's like, you know, various rules and stuff. You've got to, you know, respect your opponent and all that sort of stuff, which Wimbledon obviously aren't doing.
Yeah, I think Wimbledon know that. I think when they did it, they knew there was going to be the repercussions, and they're probably already prepared for it. And that's fair to them, they're sticking to their guns, aren't they? So you've got to respect them for that. Again, Pete Winkleman is the main guy. He was the one who did it. It was, you know, all his fault. I knew, you know, he's always beaten the drum that Wimbledon would have gone out of business if he didn't do what he did. But is that really true? I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm. Alright, I want to move on, just talk about on the pitch. Wimbledon won that match 2-0, which puts them mid-table. MK Dons, are they in any relegation trouble, or will they be alright?
I don't think so. I think they'll stay up. I don't think they'll go down, personally.
Yeah, I think they're just that little bit. I think they're just that little bit more safe than others, and I think the squad they've got, they'll be okay, I think, MK Dons.
Generally, though, do you look at the bottom four and say that'll be the bottom four? Port Vale, Swindon, Chesterfield, Coventry, because there's a 5-point gap. I know Port Vale, possibly the ones who could get out of it, is they've got three games in hand, but they lost to Northampton 2-1 last night.
I think it'd be Oldham. I think it'd be the bottom three: Coventry, Chesterfield, and Swindon. I think Oldham are going to join them.
Well, it's again, it's quite a lot of clubs have picked up a bit of form, really, and everyone seems to really be beating everyone. But the one I'm a bit surprised about is Swindon, because I generally thought after they recruited very well in January, brought in some good players, and they were starting to pick it up again. But they seem to be going backwards again. And they've had some very disappointing big results. I mean, that 1-0 defeat on Chesterfield, and then that 3-2 defeat at Port Vale has killed them, really. And I think those two results are pretty much dictated their fate, really. They lost again as well last night to Sheffield United. And I just feel those results, I think those results have just killed them.
Mm-hmm. And
is Tim Sherwood actually in charge of Swindon? I got confused with that.
I think he's director of football. I think Luke Williams is the manager and Sherwood's the director of football.
But he kept going into the dugout, didn't he? I read he kept going into the dugout and barking orders at the players, but he's obviously not worked either way.
I think that's just showed all over, isn't it?
We discussed it before. He does some of the he did one of the team talks as well, I think. Looking at the top of the league, Sheffield United, as we say, they won their last game. They've won quite a few games and top of the league. Is that where you expect them to stay, or Fleetwood, who had that long unbeaten run? Can you see them having a go?
I think it's surprising with Fleetwood. Really surprising. You know, how far they've come in, you know, the sort of short amount of time. I mean, I think Sheffield United will be going up this season. I think that's a safe bet. You know, I think the job Chris Wilder done ultimately, because I think after 4 or 5 games, they didn't win a game, did they? And there was a big talk about he was going to walk out, but you know, he's turned it all around. He's done what, you know, what Nigel Atkins, Nigel Clough and Amanda have been unable to do, you know, in terms of, because Sheffield United, as much as I hate to say, they are probably too big for League One. But it's taken them quite some time to get out there, and Chris Wilder's come in, and he's the man who's done it. And yeah, that'll be up. But in terms of second, I think it could be anyone, sort of from, you know, either Fleetwood, Bolton, or, you know, Scunthorpe. But I think Fleetwood's been a massive surprise. I'd like to see him do it. You know, you always see these, you know, Burton did it last season. You know, there's always small clubs that get into the Championship, you know, in recent years, like Rotherham as well, and Peterborough, Yeovil, clubs like that. Who've managed to get into the Championship. Will they do anything if they go up? Probably not, but it's still good to see. And of course, it's good for the club as well. I'll tell that to Yeovil fans.
I think it's going to be a really good finish to the League One. I can't call it at the moment, because again, everyone's winning, really. I know Scunthorpe have gotten a bit of a dodgy run, because they're looking very comfortable. So, but then again, they got a big win last night into Rochdale, so that's probably given them a huge, huge confidence boost. And we saw Bolton; they've been on a great run, beating. I think they scored 8 goals in their last 2 games, which have both been away as well. So they're certainly notching the goals up. 2 massive away wins, beating Gillingham 4-0 last night, beating Fleetwood 4-2 on Saturday, and then Fleetwood themselves have just, we talked about their run, the way they've jumped, they're in second spot. They know how to win football matches. So when they won 1-0 last night, all sort of grind that win. So you've sort of got the characters of all there, really. Fleetwood with their clean sheets, Bolton with their goals, and then Scunthorpe, obviously with how well they've done all season. So I think it's an incredible battle. I think it's going to go right to the final day there.
I think, well, there's 2 things, really. The fact that Bolton beat Fleetwood 4-2, a massive result to end that unbeaten run and keep them in with a shout of having the automatics. But also, you've got to respect Fleetwood for beating Walsall and coming back, because, you know, it's quite easy. In fact, you see it all the time in the Football League, where a team loses one game and ends up going on that bad run of form. I mean, look at, well, Scunthorpe, as you put it. They've lost a couple of games.
Yeah, absolute prime example, yeah. Big shout-out to Mill, last League One club to be in the FA Cup. Lost to Tottenham, but I think Mill is still in a great position, 6th in the league, and I think all focus now for them until the end of the season, and to try and get that playoff spot.
Yeah. They turned it right around, didn't they? Because they were right down there a few months ago, you know, and they dug in and they've got back into the top 6, which is where Millwall as a club probably should be. You know, sort of upper League One, lower Championship club, aren't they, in terms of stats?
I'd like to
see Bradford do it, personally. I'd really like to see Bradford back in the Championship. I still think they're a big football league club. When on one of the they're still a big club. They've got, you know, a big ground and they get big crowds. So yeah, I'd like to see Bradford do it. But no, I think it's probably be I think largely it's probably going to be Scunthorpe or Bolton personally, the top two. But who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to pick up on that, it's 17 points, 17 games, I should say, that Millwall are unbeaten. It's a fantastic run of form.
Absolutely. And I think that's Millwall as a whole, to be honest. You said they've gone on a bad run. And they're a club that do stand by each other. I mean, you know, they get a lot of publicity. But, I mean, with Millwall, obviously the players actually always, the fans always get behind the players. And the club as a whole always stick with their manager until it gets that sort of almost out of hand. And I think... that's them as a whole, and they've been rewarded this season with everyone sort of sticking together, and they're on their way to an absolute fantastic season with the club running everything.
Uh-huh.
So again, it proves that sacking the manager isn't always the answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, all right, we'll move on to League Two. A few stories I want to mention. Graham Westley's been sacked as Newport boss. That was since the last show. Mike Flynn's come in. He's won two games in a row, beating Crewe and Morecambe. Any hope for Newport to avoid the relegation zone? 7 points adrift. Game in hand, though.
They've certainly given themselves the hope. As you say, I think after that, especially after that Orient defeat, where they lost 4-0. It was looking like that. It was complete and utter curtains for them. But then, I mean, again, this is maybe where the credit goes to the owner. And God, this is absolutely unacceptable. And they sacked their manager, and in return, they've got a good 6 points return out of it.
Westley's a funny one because he always gets these jobs, but he never seems to pull it off.
Yeah. But like you say, I think they've got their return. They've got two wins out of two. Got a game in hand, so it's certainly not all over. Yeah.
It's very tight in the places above, though. I know Accrington have pulled a bit clear. They beat Leighton Orient 5-0 last night, and they've been on a bit of an unbeaten run. What do you make of the places above that? Who do you think, if not Newport, would get relegated?
If not Newport, I think it'll be Cheltenham. I don't think Notts County will go down there, which I'm really glad about. Although I am a Forest fan, I've still got a massive soft spot for Notts County. I think it'd be a disaster for them if they did drop out. Because the one thing they're clinging on to is they're the oldest club in the Football League. So, you know, if they lost the Football League statue, I think that honour then goes to, I think it's Stoke. So then they've even lost that. They haven't had the best of luck, not. So I'd be quite upset to see them go down, but I don't think they will. I think Leighton Orient will go. I think that's a given. And it'll be between Newport and Cheltenham, but I think Newport will go down, personally.
Fair enough. Just want to give a quick shout out to Blackpool as well. They got an impressive 1-0 win over Stevenage, who've been on an incredible run. Stevenage themselves, chance of playoffs for Blackpool for a side that's really struggled, but playoffs represent a good season for them, I think.
I think their fans will be, even if they don't get the plus, their fans will be pretty happy that they haven't just seen another season of doom and gloom, really. And they've won a lot of football matches, and they had a good FA Cup run as well. So I think it's been a better season on the pitch. They're still obviously, before they get it out, I think they still need to sort these off-the-field problems out before anyone gets carried away. But I think above all, their fans will just be like, they've actually seen some good performances this season, along with some good wins. I don't think they'll get the playoffs, but I think it's still been a massive season of improvement.
Mm-hmm. Just a final question I want to ask you, Danny. At the moment, Doncaster, Plymouth and Portsmouth are the top three. Carlisle were in the mix, but they've been on a really poor run of form, not won for a while. Do you think the top three will stay as it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's unfortunate for Carlisle, isn't it? They were unbeaten for so long, and they looked, you know, and there's three spots up for grabs in League Two, so it's easier of the three Football League divisions, if you like, just because you've got more opportunity. So it's unfortunate for them that they've slipped, but no, I think the top three now is the top three at the end of the season. Portsmouth have been, you know, gagging to go back up for, you know, 3 or 4 years, however long they've been down there. And I think Plymouth as well, they've been sort of knocking on the door for quite some time. So yeah, the top three that is now will be the top three at the end of the season, I think.
All right, yeah, thanks for joining me tonight. Also, thanks to my guest, Paul Parker, who was interviewed by Chris earlier in the show, and Danny from Liquid Football, who's also joined us tonight. Really enjoyed having you on, Danny. Twitter, V2 Football, and our website, v2football.com. As Danny mentioned earlier, you can check out Liquid Football. I'll put the details in the description. Thanks for joining us. It's good night from me, and good night from Danny and Nick Davey. Good night.
Good night. Cheers, lads.